This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, and that's going to take some time. Did we, 95.7 The Game, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com, sports station. Jim Cosimore, Whitey Gleason with you as we get through a Saturday. One more hour to go here. We got Tittle and Urban flying in. And you know what? I wanted to get to one thing about you, Whitey, and that's something that you're a collector of sorts, kind of a collector of
yeah,
sorts.
Yeah, I have some sports memorabilia because I have some family members who were in baseball, and sometimes literally I will find something like, what is that? It's a Joe DiMaggio autograph. Yeah, so it's been kind of a rough summer because something happened to me in regards to my collection early in the summer, and it's taken me all summer to recover, and I appreciate the chance here to kind of confess here and share it with you, and maybe that'll help me with the healing process. Years ago when my father passed away, one of his possessions came into my possession, and it was an autograph book.
Okay.
And I happened to look at it. Somebody said, here you go, you should have this. And I looked at it, and at first I thought it was my dad's high school buddy signed this book. And I looked at it and said, I don't think my dad was high school buddies with Honus Wagner.
Honus Wagner?
Honus Wagner signed this thing, Jimmy Fox. See, my dad's uncle pitched in the majors, and apparently Uncle Bill went around to all the clubhouses, as many as he could, and he got teams to sign. And this would have been 1939.
Whoa!
So I'm looking through this thing. Yeah, Honus Wagner's the one that jumped out at me. DiMaggio, Jimmy Fox, Lefty Grove, a lot of Hall of Famers, a lot of teams. And I thought, this thing's probably worth a lot of money.
Yeah, you're talking game-changing Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
When it was something to be a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Right? Names that you're coming up with are jumping off the page as this is amongst the craziest things. Like, you'd almost think it's fake.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And it's not.
And one book.
Yeah. And it's the type of thing that if someone wanted to see it, I said, well, I'll show you pictures of it, but you ain't going to touch it. So the Antiques Roadshow made its way through the valley.
I've said that same sentence about some things, too.
Okay.
I'll have you know.
All right.
I've said that same sentence. Go ahead.
Sheen and I went out to the Antiques Roadshow, and I thought, this is going to be great because, you know, this thing is worth. I had taken it to a museum once, and some guys that authenticate things. Again, I didn't take them the book. I showed them pictures. And this one guy says, that's worth at least $10,000.
What?
Yeah. He says, and I thought, probably more, but okay.
Mm.
So we wait in line. You got to wait through line of moose pretty quickly. And when you go to the show, which you wait in line, you show them your things, and then there's a chance you're going to be on TV, and then they tell you what it's going to be worth when you're on TV. I was assuming I'm going to make it on TV easy.
Oh,
there's no question.
Slam dunk.
I will be on the TV. It's just a matter of how many millions of dollars.
Yep.
Yeah. So we have to go, okay, go out there, blah, blah, blah. Here's the sports memorabilia. And there's this woman, and she's from New York, and she's the expert that I show everything to, and she's like, oh, this is nice. I explained the whole story.
Oh.
Uncle Bill, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, you're getting your tea. You got makeup on, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm getting ready for my... Yeah.
Yep. You're getting ready for your close-up.
Honus Wagner there. I don't know if you're familiar with him or the original Hall of Famers. just Joe DiMaggio, I forgot. Yeah, Pie Trainer, look at that. Mm. Anyway, she goes, yeah, that's really nice, and you have what do they call it, provenance? Do you have a great story? She did look. She goes, oh, is there any? And I said, no, there's Babe Ruth didn't sign it. She goes, okay, fine. Anyway, she goes, yeah, about $1,000 to $1,500.
No way.
Yes, that's what she said.
And
I had to pretend that I wasn't crushed.
No.
I had to pretend I wasn't devastated.
I would have sworn at her. I would have sworn at her and called her a bad name.
Yeah.
And questioned her intelligence in her chosen field.
She knew she was delivering the dagger. Like, yeah, it's $1,000, $1,500. There's some nice autographs there. Be worth more if you had Ruth or Gehrig.
Okay, oh, would it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a load of crap.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I finally thought about it, looked at the autographs. I've decided she was just wrong.
She's just wrong. I would say, and I don't know that field, the inside workings of that field. But I would guess you have experts in woodworking. you know if it's an 1840s bed frame mm-hmm. that a guy hand-whittled.
You think I got the wrong person.
I think you got the wrong person.
So she's probably like a bobblehead woman or something.
Maybe she's a more of a china. Maybe she's, a nice intricate glassware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is her more her bailiwick. And you just decided to give her something that was outside of her realm of expertise.
Unbelievable.
That's just the way I'm believing it. Are you believing me or are you believing her?
I'm believing you, and I appreciate the chance to share. Thank you very much.
I'll give you $750 cash right now for that book. All right? I'll give you $750 cash.
I don't even know where it is now.
You're so angry.
I was so depressed.
I was so angry. I use it. You know what I use? I put my drinks on it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just have a drink. I need a coaster.
Hannes Wagner alone should be worth $5,000.
I would think. I don't know. If somebody out there is a... because there are a lot of people.
Nobody cares. I realize. That's why I appreciate it, because I know no one cares, but thank you for letting
me share.
I care. Yeah.
More than that, you're my friend. I care.
Old Double X Jimmy Fox?
Oh, man. I would think that would be cool. Well, I'm not a collector. What do I know?
Right.
I'm the sucker who would probably say, yeah, that's worth a lot. Here's $15,000. And then you turn it down. You're thinking it's worth $100,000.
I'm the Dak Prescott of baseball memorabilia.
You're not worth as much as you think you're worth. Exactly. Dak book. All right, everybody. More to come. We're in the always important 12 o'clock hour. And this is where we really start to turn up the heat, because on NFL cutdown day, I'm expecting bigger names. All right, I want to see some.
I know you're disappointed.
So far, I've been pretty disappointed on both sides of the bay.
Shady McCoy got you excited, but since then
they came out of the gate early with a Shady, and I'm thinking this is going to be fantastic. You know, who else isn't going to make a roster that I thought was going to start, and I was considering on my fantasy team?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, nothing. Bupkis. But we'll keep our eye on the waiver wire and more National Football League material. Whitey and Co's with you. We'll take your calls at 888-957-9570. You can hit us on the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. You're listening to 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
We're getting more and more names trickling in as far as the cutdown day on the NFL. Whitey, now I'm starting to get excited. It started with LeSean McCoy.
Right.
Shady, as you like to call him.
Mm-hmm. I got a couple for you. These aren't earth-shattering, but you'll know them.
Mm.
Waived by the Packers, quarterback Deshaun.
Wait, let me stop. Oh, I was going to say Aaron Rodgers.
No, incorrect.
Okay.
DeShone Kizer waived by the Packers.
Ooh, that's a pretty big name.
And a former 49er quarterback.
Wait a minute. Let me guess.
Has been released.
Let me guess. JT O'Sullivan.
No.
Okay.
Not Tim Rattay. The Patriots.
How about Sugar Sean Hill?
The Patriots release Brian Hoyer.
Whoa, wait a minute now. What if I told you can get Brian Hoyer as your backup to Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, what if you told Kyle Shanahan that? He's a Hoyer guy, right?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
As much as I have a man crush on C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins, what if I told you I can get a guy who knows my system? He can step right in.
Well, because he tried that a couple years ago, and he was terrible.
Oh, man. So
right, they handed him the keys. Until we get a quarterback, Brian Hoyer's our guy, and he just where's C.J. Beathard?
Brian Hoyer has been, and I don't say this with glee, right? I'm not mocking a guy for this because
he's had a long NFL career.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. Every time he's been given the keys to the car won't turn over. You know, all you get is
he actually beat out a rookie by the name of Johnny Manziel for the starting job in Cleveland. And I think, what year would that have been? 2015-ish? I'd have to double check. I apologize. Hoyer had the Browns like 7-4?
At one point?
Yeah.
Are you sure that was him? That wasn't Brandon Whedon who had stepped in to do that?
It wasn't.
Oh, man. Wow. Was that Mike Phipps at 7-4?
Mike Phipps could spin it.
He could. All right. Hold on, we've got. Nash? Give me that one more time. We got Nash Solomon producing today. He gave it to. Give it to me on the air, buddy. This sounds big. Oh, what was your Hoyer factoid? Because he's all excited because he's a Patriots fan, and Hoyer was kind of a Patriot.
No, it was just back when he was with Cleveland. I was mentioning that was the year that he was going back and forth with Johnny Football. both playing quarterback for the Browns that year.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, they finished 8-8 that year, too.
Yeah, and he beat out Johnny Football at the beginning of the year.
Well,
won me a bet, I must add.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for look at humble brag guy over here.
You have a little Patriot factoid that relates to the Niners, though.
Do you think Kyle Shanahan has his eye on a veteran?
No.
To be a backup?
I don't.
My point on Hoyer is people are going to mock him as, you know, this failure. He's had a long career. Everyone thinks he's a smart enough guy to be the backup. I mean, you had to have done something right.
Right. Pro Football Talk points out Hoyer, two stints with the Patriots as Brady's backup, has started games for the Browns, Texans, 49ers, Bears, and Cardinals. So someone's going to be interested. A team that is not currently sold on their backup options.
Well,
is going to come a calling.
Veterans get that chance. Some teams go with veterans. Those are teams that are usually ready to win now, aren't they? Teams that aren't ready to win now might have younger guys as backups. What do the Niners have? They have established veteran backup, or do they have young guys as backups?
Mullins is good.
Is he good?
Mullins is good.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So last year we saw both Beathard and Mullins play.
Yes. They lost four games last year in which they were leading in the fourth quarter. Mullins was the quarterback for one of those and Beathard for three.
Okay, so here's the deal on that. All the time, the backup is the most popular guy. That's how it is. So we fell in love with Mullins because he wasn't Beathard. We admired Beathard's toughness. We thought he was decent enough, and we kind of liked him, but we knew we weren't going to win with him. So Mullins was the pick du jour. And then he became the cool story because he wore the headsets and he walked on the field to simulate the sound.
Well, also, he put up numbers.
But did he do it out of were they desperation numbers? Were they fourth quarter, we're down by three scores, I'm going to put it up numbers? Or were they numbers that, hey, we were going to lead this team, or you always felt he was in control of the offense?
Well, you know, also he made his debut on that Thursday night showcase against the Raiders, and he lit up the Raiders. Nothing against the Raiders. I know we've already gotten some blowback from Raiders.
Actually,
fans.
On that night, you could have put something on the Raiders. They didn't. There were two games they chose not to play last year, London and Niners. Is that fair? And
yes.
I don't want to sound, I mean, I'm not trying to be
mean. I was
hoping
you wouldn't point that out, but okay.
Those were the two games where they kind of didn't come out all that well. They didn't look ready to compete.
Well, I don't think Hoyer's a good fit for the 49ers, but some seem to think that the Colts might be a good fit for Hoyer.
I think right now any quarterback who gets released today, the Colts are the immediate team that everyone jumps to. Whether there's a connection or not, I think that's the lazy attachment. Kind of like the lazy attachment I did with Shady McCoy.
Yeah.
You know, Andy Reid had him before. Why wouldn't he go to Kansas City?
Yeah.
So I understand it could be that, but I don't. Are the Colts that team? Some people will tell you that they had put together the perfect team for Andrew Luck, and they were going to be a force in the AFC this year. Luck goes down, and all that goes to hell?
Well, yes. I mean, he was so critical to their success last year. He had an unbelievable year last year. You know, they went on that winning streak and made the playoffs. Here's what I want to ask
you about. MVP.
Yeah. Nick Mullins. This was interesting watching the game Thursday night. And we're watching, and okay, Nick Mullins is not going to play tonight. We've been told, and he's been told he's not going to play tonight. Third quarter, there's Nick Mullins.
Yeah.
And the speculation is, and I don't know if this has been confirmed, perhaps it has, that they wanted to tell him he wasn't going to play and then play him to see how he would respond, because sometimes that happens when you're the backup quarterback.
Wow. That is second level.
Yeah.
That is serious second level. I think it's hooey.
That was speculated on the broadcast.
Listen, you know I love speculation and conjecture much more than I like actual news. Okay? So I like that story. I'm a big fan of it. And you've got to be pretty devious to come up with that plan. That's my personal opinion. But I've also heard it said that, well, they wanted both guys to start the same amount of quarters.
Okay.
So they just gave him a start in that quarter. Your story, 1,000 times better.
It's not my story.
Mine's,
I'm just sharing what I hear.
So Whitey Gleason has reported that the Niners lied to Mullins to trick him into seeing if he would prepare the same way. Because that's what might happen in a game.
Some theorize that might be the case.
Okay, I like
it. I also thought it was outlandish, which is why I bring it up here.
That's a good place to bring it up. I actually like the idea. I do like the idea. Like, everyone's going to sit in the quarterback room, and they're all going to go over the game plan. But if you tell two guys, you're not playing. Don't worry.
But you can do that, can you, as a coach? I mean, you have to. You can't openly lie, no matter what it's about.
You're the coach.
Because then everything you tell them from then after, was it really?
I'm not even going to ask you who lies. I'm going to ask you who tells the truth nowadays. You give me that list of people.
All right.
I am falling in love with that idea. Do we need it? Do we have a breaking news sounder? Just break it in at any time.
95.7 The Game Breaking News. Powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
Nash Solomon's got some hot, tasty news, juicy news for us.
Oh, the 49ers faithful are going to love this one. Sources from Ian Rappaport. The Seahawks have released 49er favorite, that's not the exact quote, defensive end Cassius Marsh.
Cassius Marsh.
Big 49er fan favorite.
Fans don't like him, do they?
They do not.
Why don't they like a Cassius? How many Cassiuses have you ever met, first of all? Not many. I only know of one. Right? The great Clay.
Yes. Yeah. It's the only person I know of with that moniker.
No, I don't know. I don't know anymore. So Cassius Marsh is out with the Seahawks. Probably not so excited about that Jadeveon Clowney addition.
Right.
You know, maybe Cassius a little unhappy with that addition.
Yeah. Interestingly, as I know we've discussed this, we talked to Cam Inman today. Cam Inman not that excited about what Clowney can do for the Seahawks, telling us that people get a little overly excited about it.
What did Dante Whitner say about it?
I think we had to dump him. I don't remember what he said about it.
Actually, what he did say was pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
He said, you know what? I don't think it's going to be that big of a difference. He didn't rip Clowney as much as he said he's just not the game, the difference maker
right.
that a lot of people assume he's going
he said
to be.
They're just trying to replace Frank Clark, and good luck with that.
Yeah. He's not better than Clark, and therefore that's what you get. But a tough day for Cassius Marsh, who is not a 49er fan favorite, as the moves continue to trickle in here on cutdown day. And we know that we've got Tittle and Urban coming on after us, and they will again break down each and every cutdown that we have in the National Football League. We could start with the Atlanta Falcons and just read off all their cuts.
Please,
if you'd like, you know.
Please, music to my ears.
Well, they've only made two cuts, Chad Williams and Reese Odhiambo.
Are they a playoff contender this year? The Atlanta Falcons.
I'm sorry. The Falcons have cut defensive end Chris Odom, tight end Logan Paulson, and wide receiver Christian Blake. Those are the three that have
named. By the way, Kevin Hogan also, you know, Stanford guy, waived today.
He did get waived today by the Denver Broncos. And who knows if they could be looking for another backup quarterback in some way, shape, or form. Hogan's kind of, he's been a guy who's bounced around. I know a lot of people thought he was, you just said where he went. They thought he was might have been the smartest quarterback coming out that year. Might be so. I know he had his time in Cleveland, a couple of other places where they gave him opportunities, but he just seems to be, he's the quintessential 4A guy in baseball. You know, he'll mash AAA pitching, gets to the majors, and he just can't figure it out.
Sure.
That level in between, which means go to Japan or Korea and make your money.
I asked you about the Falcons in that very tough NFC South. The team that I have an eye on there in that division, we're supposed to do some picks Monday with Ryan Covey, and I'm trying to fly
Don't
under the radar here a little
Don't
bit.
Don't ruin them.
But I
change him by Monday.
There's a lot I like about the Panthers, who were 6-2 last year.
Yeah.
Before it all unraveled along with Cam's shoulder.
Well, that's the biggest question still, is how is his shoulder, right? It's not like he's gotten extensive playing time in the preseason. They've kept him in bubble wrap. It took him a long time before they let him even throw passes just prior to camp. So the biggest question for them is going to be, what can Cam Newton do? And I do think he's an electric quarterback. I do think he's you know what? If I had him, I'd be happy. If he was my quarterback, I'd be a happy guy.
Me too. Yeah.
But he needs to be healthy, like everybody else out there.
And Norv did some things with him that worked last year. So, that's one thing, by the way, Jimmy Garoppolo, right now anyway, health is not a concern, right? I mean, he could get hurt, but as far as is he healthy now? Yeah. Based on what we've seen? Yeah.
Yes. But you have to wonder, it's your first year back from an ACL. As much as you say a guy's back.
Sports medicine is so advanced now. They do. They turn those things around. They line them up. You go in there. Boom. There's a new ACL. You're fine.
Exactly. And you're right back out there.
Tommy John. What do you need? Tommy John, ACL, whatever.
I'm going to use this as an example, though. Richard Sherman, who's coming back from the same thing, right? Coming back from was Sherman the ACL? No, he was an Achilles. I apologize. He had the Achilles snap. So it's not the same. I don't want it to be apples to oranges, but a pretty severe injury to a part of your body. So for Garoppolo, left knee, plant leg when he throws.
Right.
For Sherman, cover guy, you need to have quicks. When I heard Kyle Shanahan describe Richard Sherman, he said, you know, Sherman's even better now. He said last year he was still in recovery as he was working with us. It's his first year back from the injury. You're still rehabbing it as you're playing. Now he's rehabbed.
Yeah.
Right? So now he only has to worry about playing defense. Before it was, I still have to go through therapy. I still have to go through rehab. Oh, yeah, I got to learn the coverages. Maybe they're still, maybe no one's throwing at me because they think I'm still great. That's fine. But now he's really honed in.
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, the medical reality is that as you get to a more advanced age for an athlete and then you have a major injury, it's difficult, if not impossible, for you to ever get back to where you were, no matter how successful your rehab is.
Okay. I give you that. There still, to me, has to be a mental hurdle for any of these guys, especially a guy like a quarterback who's got live bullets coming from different directions. And that's what he's going to get in a week when you've got guys putting their hand in the dirt and coming to get him.
I think another difficult aspect of this potentially for Jimmy Garoppolo is Kyle Shanahan, if you look at it historically, he asks his quarterbacks to stay in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You stay in there. You don't dump it off. You wait until something opens up. And we know Jimmy Garoppolo, you called him a gunslinger. So as far as that goes, he may have to make an adjustment there to lessen the risk of injury. But I don't think he will.
Gunslinger sounds much better than chance taker, doesn't it? Like if you're my guy's a gunslinger. All of a sudden we're running around with number 10. God, the guy's a chance taker. All he
drove me
take
crazy
chances.
With Favre, and I know Hall of Fame quarterback, but that was like, well, you can't criticize him. Why not gunslinger? What does that even mean?
Right, he's a gunslinger.
Yeah.
So that's all you need to know. I don't need to give you a definition. Just take it for what it is. He's a gunslinger.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But I do think there is a difference, and I think Garoppolo still is in the chance taker category. But it is interesting the way you use words, man.
Yeah. I agree, but I do think right now, from what I've seen, he's healthy.
He is healthy, but week one will be like nothing he has seen, and that includes Denver when Chubb was lining up and pushing Staley around right into him and going at the quarterback.
Is Joe Staley the most underrated athlete, professional athlete in the Bay Area?
I think he's – let me think that through. He might be – I think he's appreciated.
Okay.
I think he's duly appreciated.
Maybe underrated. Brandon Belt, Joe Staley – you're not a big Brandon Belt guy.
I like Brandon Belt as a human being. I think he's a great guy. He's a great interview. He's fun. He's funny. He's a great glove at first. He protects a lot of throws that come his way. You know what? He's got a hole in his swing. And he's, you know what? And this isn't, again.
He put a hole in McCovey Cove last night.
Yeah, yeah. It's not his fault, but they gave him too much money. So our thought of him is he's a failure. Because the Giants chose to give him too much money, he's not as good as he's supposed to. Maybe if shave off $20 million.
I think a lot of fans get upset because he doesn't hit 30 home runs. 25 home runs.
No.
I don't even, is he hit 20? But I still think he does a lot of things that help you, and he's an effective player. Did they overpay?
A lot.
It is kind of interesting that with home run numbers going through the roof, his have not been overly impressive, so it's the ballpark. What about Kevon Looney, one of the more underrated athletes in the Bay Area?
He's equally rated. He's rated.
Okay.
I think he's properly rated.
I digress.
I don't think he's under nor over.
I withdraw the comment.
Okay. I'm going to give you the odd. He's evenly weighted is what he is.
All right.
But on Belt, they paid him for the 18th inning home run against Washington, didn't they? That's basically what they did. And they thought, now he's going to become that 30 home run guy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a move the fences in guy or not?
Yeah, I think you have to.
Why does every other team in baseball hit home runs at Oracle?
That is a great question.
And I guess the Giants don't.
If there's an answer, it's the whole, it plays on their mind, psychological. I'm not saying that's
should be
legit.
The opposite, though, right? It shouldn't it be the opposite.
I know.
The Giants should say, no, the ball travels out. I'm just going to keep swinging. Let them think it doesn't.
I saw Seager, and I first thought of that same thing a couple years ago. Seager hit a monstrous home run to left field, and I remember thinking, why? Yeah. Catman, dude. Why in the world are these guys crushing the ball, and the Giants just can't? Oh, boy, it's the ballpark. They can't hit it out.
Goldschmidt used to hit how many out per series? It was He was perpetually taking batting practice.
Yeah, especially against Lincecum. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, but the Giants guys are warning track power guys. They go on the road, they hit it out. They can't do it now. They can't do it now with a ball that is like a highlight ball.
Yeah.
That thing's flying.
Are those balls really
They
bouncing?
Are very hard, okay. And they bounce. They are. Don't get hit by one, Whitey.
Well, a couple of long balls last night. So maybe they're turning it all around.
Maybe we'll continue tonight with Jim Cozumel and family.
That's
in
tremendous.
The park, in the yard. Because,
go to ballpark snack, go.
You know, you were talking about earlier, it is the kind of the start of our sports calendar, our sports year.
The sports new year, yeah.
The sports new year. So you have your sports
resolutions. Yeah, don't you?
Do you know what mine, honestly, do you know what mine, and I'm not kidding about this. I've now decided it's time to go do things you've wanted to do. Like my whole life, one of these days I'm going to go to a game at Notre Dame. I want to go see the Irish play at Notre Dame Stadium. I'm going to go do that. Well, how many more years am I going to sit here and go, yeah, I'm going to go do that one day.
It's time for you to enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Exactly. So I'm going this year. I'm going to go see the Irish play the New Mexico Lobos in the home opener.
Good for you.
Yeah, on September 14th. How about that? Pretty exciting?
Mm-hmm.
I'm weaving in a trip to see mom and all that stuff, but... That's my sports resolution.
Can I share one more with you? I want to see what you think of it.
The day before, I'm going to Wrigley.
That's just tremendous.
That's a back-to-back.
I can't compete with that.
That's a back-to-back. That's pretty solid back-to-back.
I can't compete with that. Here's one of my New Year's resolutions, and it is...
Is this for Monday with Ryan Covey? Because I don't want to steal your Covey material.
Not at all.
Don't get Coase and Cove mixed up.
Not at all.
Okay.
No allowing any guests watching football at my house to openly root for somebody on their fantasy team if that player is playing against the actual NFL team that I'm rooting for in the game we're watching.
That is a really deep cut. You know,
so if you and I are watching a game and let's say the 49ers are playing whoever.
The Lions, and I've got Matthew Stafford.
And you're like, Stafford, yeah. It's like, no, you got to leave.
Really?
Yeah.
That's hardcore. That's very hardcore.
You keep it to yourself.
Okay, got to silently, little fist pump.
It's disrespectful. I'm not allowing that any longer.
Okay, good. I like,
I mean, I like watching games with my wife, but I'm not allowing that anymore.
You're kicking her out of the room. Get out of here, honey. Stafford. By the way, it's a good fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, that's another team that I want to take a hard look at them as a surprise team, maybe a surprise contender, but I don't know where they
toughest division in football.
Yeah.
That's toughest division in the North. I still call it the Central. The NFC Central.
Sure.
But the Bears are expected to be the best. SI said the Bears are going to be 7-9 this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Based on
I think they needed to make waves.
Or,
Sports Illustrated has gotten out of our consciousness, so they like to make one wacky statement per episode.
Okay.
Per edition.
That's another catch-all phrase. You know, what about the quarterback? He's a gunslinger. Well, how come this team's not going to be as good this year? Regression.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
there's the natural regression.
That's math. I can't argue with that.
I know. Exactly. But a lot of people, Packers, I think, are the biggest question because they have a new head coach, and everyone assumes that there's not a happy marriage between the most important player on the field and the head coach.
That's going to be worth watching.
And let me ask you this.
Yes.
Has this actually helped Aaron Rodgers that everyone assumes Mike McCarthy wasn't the best fit as a head coach and had kind of mailed it in the end? Do we weigh it more in favor of Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers was winning despite the garbage they kept putting around him. Or Aaron Rodgers is kind of, he is what he is.
People are always going to side with Aaron Rodgers.
Right, they seem to.
The interesting thing
about
Danica
Patrick.
That question to me is that last year Mike McCarthy actually did kind of open up his bag of tricks a little bit. Look how often Aaron Rodgers was in the pistol. For example.
Right.
Yeah. And so they did try some new things last year. It was too little, too late. And Matt LaFleur, their new coach, is more of the Shanahan, McVay play action ilk.
All right.
So if you look at what LaFleur did last year with Tennessee, they're going to run a lot of play action. So you're not going to see presumably Aaron Rodgers is not going to be out of the shotgun as much.
Is that,
he's going to be under center. He's going to rely more on his running game to set up everything else he does.
Is that the most important marriage in Bay Area sports? How about this? I'm going to throw one at you. Is that the most important marriage in Bay Area sports?
Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay, sorry.
They're only dating.
Okay.
Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo. Those two getting together, getting along, getting on the same page. Remember when Harbaugh was here and he would walk up to, it was started with Alex Smith, and he'd pound on his shoulder pads before the game, and he'd get in his head and he'd get him going. I think he did the same thing with Kaepernick, but I remember him remember he'd pound on those shoulder pads before the game?
Sure.
He'd be all Harbaugh on the guy. And do we need to have that same type of simpatico between Shanahan and between Garoppolo in order for it to really get together and work?
It can't be as demonstrative because Shanahan, I know he played in college and he was an outstanding receiver, but, you know, Jim Harbaugh was an NFL quarterback, so this is quarterback to quarterback. Rah, rah, rah.
He was an NFL guy.
Yeah.
He was a football guy, you know?
He was also very high on Jimmy Garoppolo, interestingly enough.
Do we have in our hands the 49ers cuts? So far.
So far.
I've been handed the 49ers cuts so far, and some of these cut deep. Are you ready?
Hold on. Yes.
Are you sure? Take a sip of that.
Yes.
How many of those are you going through, for crying out loud?
This is just my second one, and I just started.
That is not good for you. Don't do that, man.
I just started.
Oh, my God.
Come on, cut down day.
I know, cut down day. You threw me off right there. Here's what we've got. These have been reported by either the 49ers or guys who cover the team, Matt Barrows, Matt Mayoko's with NBC Sports Bay Area. Barrows is with The Athletic.
Great reporters right there. Seriously, both of them.
Yes, Garofolo. Some would say Garofalo, but I know Garofolo.
Okay.
Play with me on that one. Mike Garofolo. And a variety of other guys. Eric Branch is in on that list as well. Adam Schefter on some of that as well. Are you ready? Defensive tackle Jay Bromley, released by the 49ers. Chris Campbell, the corner, has been released. Surprise?
No.
Adrian Colbert, safety, surprise?
Mildly.
Defensive lineman Jamel Garcia-Williams, guard Josh Garnett.
No, sadly no.
It's
just
not
wasn't
a surprise.
Coming together. When you look at what they did with him, where you take a year off to go work on your body, that didn't bode well for his NFL future.
I've been thinking of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I've been thinking of doing that and coming back.
It looks like you did, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. But a first-round pick gone awry, Chip Kelly era.
Right.
How little we knew ye. And that was over quickly. So Joshua Garnett has been released or waived by the 49ers, along with Jordan Holland, a defensive back, Dante Johnson, a corner?
A little bit.
Okay. Wesley Johnson, the offensive lineman. Wide receiver Jordan Matthews.
I'm not. I know we heard from, was it Javier in Vacaville?
Yeah.
He said, what in the world are they doing?
Yep.
Jordan Matthews, but they're all in on the young receivers.
They are. Currently have six, but as Cam Inman of the Bay Area News Group pointed out to us here on 95.7 The Game, 1 o'clock today isn't going to be their roster. Other guys are getting cut around the league. They are keen, and they currently are what team in line to pick? Where are they?
Number two.
Number dos. To pick up whoever's been waived. They're going to be right there to swoop in and get them. So Jordan Matthews, no longer a member of the 49ers. Tyree Mayfield, a tight end, is gone. David Mayo, the linebacker, is gone. Demontre Moore, the defensive end, the offensive lineman, Ross Reynolds, Quentin Rollins, the cornerback, Jeremiah Valuaga, the defensive end, and then you got the running back, Brandon Wilds, and the tackle, Sam Young. Those are the waves or releases, the cuts made by the San Francisco 49ers. No enormous names. Do you buy the three quarterback system in that, hey, Garoppolo's coming back from an injury? I need two guys because there's always the thought, coming back from an ACL, what happens if it tweaks again?
It depends on who gets that roster spot. If you have two quarterbacks, CJ Beathard is courageous. I call him the crash test dummy because he just, you know, he replaced Hoyer a couple years ago and he just got his brains beaten in and he came back for more and came back for more. But the other two quarterbacks are clearly much, much better than him. I think given the issues you're having defensively, I'd take a long, hard look at another pass rusher. And by the way, you mentioned a couple names there, not household names, but clearly the 49ers will be looking for some offensive line depth as they scour the waiver wire.
And the biggest news that will come in the next 14 minutes and change is going to be what happens with Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah.
What do they do? Do they place him onto the 53 and then put him on the list that'll bring him back at midseason? Or you straight IR him and you write it off as, you know what, lost cause?
Sure looks like that's the way they're leaning, doesn't it?
You think so? I don't know.
Setback after setback.
Yeah, it's tough. And at this point, you really have to trust your doctors, right? That's all you can go on is 8 weeks from now. I believe it's week 8 when they can come back. Is that right? I'm just shooting at the wind now. But they can't come back at some point of the season. They have to go to the doctors and say, thoughts.
You mentioned Matt Maiocco.
Yes.
I know he's your colleague, right?
Yes.
Matt Maiocco had a chat with him last year right after McKinnon got hurt. And Matt Maiocco said he'd talked to Shanahan, and he said Shanahan had some grand plans for McKinnon. And Matt Maiocco said that it sounded like Shanahan was thinking of doing some things with McKinnon that have not been done in the NFL. What those are exactly, I don't know. My point is major, major disappointment. No fault of Jerick McKinnon's, of course, but a devastating blow last year. And the fact that now it looks like there's a very good chance they're not going to get anything out of him.
That's sad. You know what? I don't root against a lot of guys. There are a couple I do. But most guys, I don't.
I think I know who they are.
And this is one I don't root against the guy. You get hurt like that, I think it's terrible. And his was non-contact, too. He was in training camp. You're a week or so away from the start of the season, and he feels the tweak, and next thing you know, year's done.
And that really, we didn't realize it at the time, but that set the tone for the whole season for the 49ers. God. The whole season.
And what made it even more deflating, I think, was we had all been set up to be so ready for greatness. Whether it was true or not. If Garoppolo plays all 16 and they end up 7-9 or whatever it is, in our head, we were excited about the year, and that really was kind of the stamp of what the heck's going on here. Then week 3 cements it, and now you're watching the game on Sundays and you're wondering, what the heck am I doing?
So did all the injuries prevent them from accomplishing that, or were we all wrong?
We'll find out in a week.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell us now.
Because we are. You know, I've made a vow in my sports viewing that I'm not going to make any decisions in the first.
This is a resolution.
It is a resolution. You know, I'm going to wait a quarter of the season before I say something, and then I'll break that resolution after week 1 against Tampa when Jameis throws for 4 scores and Evans and what is it, Godwin are running
Chris
all over
Godwin,
the field.
Yeah.
And that's your pick in the fantasy league?
Yeah, oh yeah,
that's
Godwin.
Your secret,
very high on,
your
yeah.
secret.
I'm not saying, you know, first round or anything, but keep him on your sleeper list. Well, he's probably more than a sleeper.
Over 100 catches?
Maybe not 100 catches, but some big yardage totals.
Mm. I don't know what the difference is. I play fantasy. My draft is coming up on Wednesday. Okay. All I know is I've scratched Andrew Luck off my board.
More Randy Moss and Art Monk, I guess. Although Randy Moss put up some big totals, too.
I am, I've got the 7th pick in round 1. So.
Snake draft?
Snake draft, yeah.
Okay.
It's a little snake.
And how many teams?
10. 10 team snake.
Okay.
So, you know, coming around pretty quick. In round 2. So we'll figure out how it goes. 2 years ago, I made it to the conference championship game.
That's tremendous.
In fact, I think in the conference championship game, while I lost the game, I outscored the 2 teams in the other conference championship game.
Oh, okay, whatever.
And last year, great. I finished last, but I outscored a couple of teams in the other conference. No, you don't care? You don't care?
As your friend, no, you can't. You can't trot that nonsense out. Last place, but I scored more. No. Doesn't work that way.
So you can't play that game?
You can, but I'm not.
All righty. All right, well, Tittle and Urban are going to have more of the cuts that come down to it. When it comes down to it, when we sit down on Monday, we're probably going to have a better understanding of what this team is trying to do after they're able to select some guys off the waiver list and bring them in and really surround the roster with guys that they feel that they can compete with. End result is Shanahan, Lynch, Garoppolo. I think this is as big a season as it gets. It's not like, hey, listen, they finish 5-11. Shanahan's still going to be the head coach next year, right?
Right.
But it's going to the bell will have sounded to, all right, you're on the final turn. Because year 4, I don't even know what's going on in year 3. Year 4, you better be a playoff.
Of those three, Lynch, Shanahan, and Garoppolo, obviously, if things don't go as well as the 49ers hope, it would be easiest for the organization to part company with Garoppolo.
Or Lynch. You could bring in another guy to be your clerical guy. But Garoppolo, you're right. Financially, yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then you have to go get your quarterback. And who's that going to be?
Nick Mullins.
You think so? You think
he's pretty good. I don't know. He's pretty good.
Don't you think at that point Shanahan panics and goes and gets Kirk Cousins?
Oh, yes, I do. Absolutely. Seriously, yeah. Assuming that they have a rough year, and as you call it, the NFC Central.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
That's a no-brainer.
Yes.
If it's a meh year for the 49ers and a meh year for the Vikings, Shanahan punches the panic button.
You like that.
Boom.
Yeah.
And he goes and gets his guy, Kirk Cousins.
And then if that doesn't work.
Well, then you're on to Cincinnati. Then you're on to finding the next guy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got egg on your face, and you've had a stretch. If it doesn't happen by then, because it's been how many years of bad? Six straight years of bad. Then you'll be bringing in a new guy after six straight years of bad.
500 record in 2014, right?
8-8 under Harbaugh's last year. And then it all went away.
When the Cozumores gather for their feasts, do people still talk about the time when you, Jim Cozumore, because of the interview you did with Coach Tom Sula, ended up on Jimmy Kimmel?
Yes.
I sure hope so. That's a tremendous story because you didn't even know what happened.
I didn't. My sister actually texted me and said, why are you on Jimmy Kimmel? And I didn't know what she was talking about. I didn't know it was that much of a blank show.
I don't know that they were a step ahead. I mean, obviously they were a step ahead.
Because you did an interview with him on...
On
NBC
Sports Talk Live, NBC
Sports.
That day
he just made his tour,
It was such an awful interview that I ended up doing interviews all around the country based on that interview.
It was just odd, right?
It really was. And the poor guy, and at first I thought he was angry. Then I realized the moment's overcome him. He doesn't know what's, I felt bad for him, and then it just imploded. Whitey, great start. We're back tomorrow, 8 a.m.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to get back in here tomorrow, and we'll get rolling. For Whitey Gleason, Jim Cozumore, Tittle Urban on the way. NFL Cutdown Day on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.